In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. St. John of Shanghai founded a number of parishes across this country. In many cases, he went to some Russian family that lived in some out-of-the-way place, and he would serve the liturgy in their living room, and out of that one celebration of the liturgy would sprout up a parish. But one of the parishes that he founded was a cathedral in Washington, D.C. And I remember hearing this story long before 9/11, and so I know that it wasn't something that was made up of after the fact. But when St. John founded that parish, they asked, well, what dedication should we make the parish to? And he said, to the beheading of St. John the Baptist. Now, St. John the Baptist has a number of feasts throughout the year, and the beheading of St. John the Baptist is one that is always a fast day, as it is today. And so when you're a parish and you're thinking about future parish patronal celebrations, you're thinking, well, I don't know, can we do the Nativity of St. John the Baptist or some other commemoration, the conception of St. John the Baptist, the third finding of the head of St. John the Baptist, or some other commemoration? But St. John said, no, it has to be for the beheading of St. John the Baptist, or your parish won't prosper. And so, reluctantly, they consented and they dedicated their parish to the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist. And, of course, that probably was chalked up to, well, you know, who knows? Maybe he just thought that the parish needed to be more ascetic by having a fast day as their patronal feast. But I think the fact that the nation's capital has a cathedral that has its patronal feast dedicated to the beheading of St. John the Baptist, and that on the day of 9/11, they were in there celebrating the divine liturgy and praying for this country and commemorating this feast, is not coincidental. And another interesting coincidence, although it may be nothing more than a coincidence, unless jihadists have a high veneration for St. John the Baptist, but the July 7th, 2005 terrorist attack in England, which in England is often referred to as the English 9/11, happened on the Nativity of St. John the Baptist. That may just be a mere coincidence. But this occurrence with St. John of Shanghai, I don't think was coincidental. And I think that the point that was being made was that this feast has some significance for this country. Why was St. John beheaded? He was beheaded because he spoke out and he said that Herod was living in sin because he had married his sister-in-law, his brother Philip's wife. And St. John said, it's not lawful for you to have her. He wasn't afraid of the fact that this was the king that he was talking about. He spoke out because it was the right thing to do. And he was killed as a result of it. And unfortunately, in our country today, we've gone from being a country that was not Orthodox, of course, by any majority, certainly, but a country that at least was devotedly religious and Christian, to a country that was somewhat indifferent to religion, although you certainly have many pious people in this country still. And unfortunately, what we see today is that we're becoming a country where there is an open hostility to religion. And the one thing that people will not tolerate in our oh-so-tolerant culture is for someone to say that something is a sin. That's the one thing that people don't want to hear. They don't want to hear anyone talking about what's right or wrong because that's offensive. And that's the one type of speech that will be shut down as hate speech in a heartbeat in today's America, unfortunately. In the Gospels, in St. Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, we read this story. There were present at that season some that had told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things. I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye will all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And then he tells this parable, which is connected to what he just said. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came, and he sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit of this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it, and dung it, or fertilize it, would be the modern way of putting that. And it bear fruit, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. First, Christ was told about two different things that had happened. One was Pilate had killed a bunch of Galileans as they were in the temple offering sacrifice, and we don't have a whole lot of information about that, although one account is that there was some sort of a protest because Pilate was trying to put a tax on the temple to fund some sort of water project that he had, and that these Galileans were protesting, and so he sent soldiers into the temple area, cloaked over, so that they weren't obviously identified as soldiers, but with clubs, and that they got out of hand and killed a great many Galileans. And then, of course, there was this tower in Siloam, which is part of Jerusalem, that fell, and some people say perhaps was connected with this water project, and killed 18 people. And Christ said, do you think these people were worse than everybody else and that's why they died? No. But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. These things, these travails that the Jews were going through were warnings from God. And ultimately, the judgment that Christ talks about in the Gospels came upon them with the destruction of Jerusalem and the scattering of the Jewish people throughout the world. And so Christ's message was, you see that this happened, you need to repent. Now, in the wake of 9/11, there were some people who talked about 9/11 in the context of God's judgment on America, and they were very quickly shouted down, how dare you say such a thing? How could God do this to us? How would he allow these evil people to do that? God obviously had nothing to do with this. Well, we believe in a God that is sovereign and on his throne, and so we know that God wasn't indifferent. It wasn't like he wasn't paying attention, and then this happened when he wasn't watching. And in the book of Habakkuk, we have a prophet who asked this very same question about the Jewish people. He asked, why is it that I see these evil Babylonians who are far worse than the Israelites ruining and killing our people and destroying our nation and bringing people away with fishhooks, literally, into captivity? How could this be? And basically God's answer to him was that it was because of the sins of the people, but it wasn't because the Babylonians were more righteous or better, and that their judgment day was coming as well. And so the fact that God might be expressing some displeasure with America has nothing to do with the people who did it, because God can use anyone to punish a nation. But there was a time in America when a calamity like that would happen and people recognized God's hand in it. It wasn't a controversial thing. If you read Abraham Lincoln's second inaugural address, he talks about the Civil War precisely that way. And he says, you know, if it be God's will that every drop of blood that was drawn with the slave master's whip will be repaid with blood on the battlefield, then God is just in all his ways and righteous altogether. So he saw the Civil War as God's expression of his displeasure on America for its sins at that time. And anytime we have something like that happening, our reaction should be to repent, to see why God allowed this to happen. It's not to say that always bad things happen because of our sins, and the scriptures make that clear, because in the case of Job, for example, that was clearly not the case. But when God punishes a nation, more often than not, there's more than enough sin in that nation to justify that action, and the proper reaction of believing people is to repent. But unfortunately, after 9/11, we heard a lot about God bless America. We want God to bless America, but we don't want to talk about God judging America or what we might need to do to please God to gain his blessings. God is under no obligation to bless America. And of course, part of, when I talk about this, one of the things I have to be careful of is I don't want to come across like some people who are talking about God's judgment in a way that they clearly were expressing their glee that God was judging America. The proper attitude, particularly of people who are in America, who are believers, is obviously not to have any joy that such a thing would happen. Because we live here, and we want God to bless America, and we don't want to see our nation destroyed. But we have to take a moment to reflect and look and see, why should God bless a nation that kills 1.5 million babies, innocent babies, through abortion every year? Why should God bless a nation where today on public television, on the regular airwaves, on cable television, all manner of sexual immorality is glorified and God is regularly mocked? The scriptures say God is not mocked, but that doesn't mean that you can't say things that mock God or act in ways that mock God. It just means that you don't get away with it. And America is not going to get away with these kinds of things. We're going to suffer. We will endure punishment. The question is will the punishment be for our chastisement and for our restoration, or will it be for our destruction? And we need to repent and ask that God would make it for our restoration, that it would be a beneficial thing for us and that it not be for our destruction. Before God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham got God to promise that if he found 10 righteous men in the city, that he would not destroy them. But unfortunately, he was not able to find 10 righteous men. And it's not required that a majority of Americans suddenly become pious Orthodox Christians that God would spare us and even bless us. In the Old Testament, in one of the books of Kings, when King Solomon blessed the temple that he had just completed, and he prayed that God would bless it, this answer came from God. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. It's important to note that what it says there is if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. If I'm right, and of course it's my opinion, this is not something the church has issued any formal statements on, but if I'm right that the fact that St. John chose the National Cathedral's patronal feast to be the very day that would be 9/11, and that this is a message for us to repent, who would that message be directed to? It's obviously not directed to anybody else, because the average American who's not Orthodox wouldn't have any clue what the feast of the beheading of St. John the Baptist was. Obviously, that message would be directed at us. We need to repent. We need to humble ourselves. We need to pray and ask that God would be merciful to this country. And that's one of the reasons why after 9/11, we had never, unless it fell on a Sunday, celebrated this feast day on right when it fell on a weekday. But every year since then, we have. And that's in large part because we need to be praying for our country. And in the service, we do pray for our country. In the Litiyah, we pray this prayer. Again, we pray that this city and this holy temple and every city and country may be preserved from famine, pestilence, earthquake, flood, fire, the sword, the invasion of aliens, and civil war, that our good and man-loving God may be gracious and favorable, that he may turn away all the wrath stirred up against us and deliver us from his righteous threatening which hangeth over us, and have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy. Again, we pray also that the Lord our God may hearken to the voice of the supplication of us sinners and have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth, and of them that be far off at sea, and be merciful, O Master, regarding our sins, and have mercy on us. For our merciful God art thou, and the lover of mankind, and in thee do we send up glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. now and ever and unto the ages of ages. Amen. When we have a feast day, we do a litany every time. And it's important for us all to be here, if we can be, for one reason, among many others. And that's that we all need to be here to pray for our country, because our country is in need of prayer. Ever since 9/11, our country has endured a great many trials. And right now we're going through an economic crisis that we don't know where the end of it is. And things may get better, but things may get much worse. And we at least need to be praying that God would be merciful in doing our part to stem God's wrath, because our nation has built up wrath, and we, as Orthodox Christians who should know better, have stored up wrath against ourselves. But Orthodox Christians, unfortunately, in America, are not all living pious lives and striving to attain to theosis and fervently praying for this country. And that's what we need to be focused on. Let his people, who are called by his name, humble ourselves, pray and seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways, so that God may hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. Amen.